Hello and welcome. This is Andrea Boring, your host of Catholic Women Create, a weekly podcast featuring some insanely talented Catholic women who are creating gorgeous goods and sharing essential products and services designed to enhance your faith, your family, your home, or your business. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of Catholic Women Create. I'm Andrea Boring, your host, and I'm so thrilled that you could join us today. You'll have to forgive my voice. I've managed to pick up a little bit of a cold, one of the perks of having school-aged children that like to bring home all the lovely germy germs to share with the rest of us. And so thankfully, one of the perks of having a cold is this awesome lounge singer voice. Hopefully it will stay with me till Sunday so I can really belt out some great hymns at Mass. It reminds me of that old Friends episode. I'm sure you all are familiar with the TV show Friends, but Phoebe, one of the episodes, Phoebe gets a really bad cold, and she loves the way it makes her voice sound. And so she has this real sultry kind of lounge singer, like I mentioned, voice. And when the cold goes away, her sultry lounge singer singing voice goes away, and she's very disappointed. So whenever I get sick and I have this weird thing happen to my voice, that's what I always think of is Phoebe Buffay from Friends. So anyhow, today, I'm just so thrilled to let you know who we have joining us. Her name is Lisa Hendy. I'm sure many of you are familiar with her work. She is an author, a speaker, and the founder of Catholic Mom. And I couldn't believe it when I saw her name come across my inbox last week. And she's here to talk about her Saint series for children called the Chime Traveler series. So I'm just thrilled that she is here to share with us all about that series. And also, I'm going to dig deep and I'm going to ask her some of the questions that I want to know. I mean, she is from everything that I've heard, she's a phenomenally kind, generous, and charitable woman. She has her act together as far as writing and blogging and being an entrepreneur. So I'm really, really excited to sit down and chat with her and hopefully get some good nuggets of information for you all today. So that's what's on tap today. We will continue our How to Start a Business segments next week. And I really wanted this week to focus on Lisa and her series. And I have a feeling she's going to be very, very inspirational. So stay tuned. We will be right back with Lisa Hendy.
You're listening to a Breadbox Media podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for staying with us. As I mentioned, today we have Lisa Hendy joining us. She is an author, a speaker, and founder of CatholicMom.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, Lisa.
Oh, thank you, Andrea. I'm so excited about your new show, and congratulations.
Thank you. It's been such a whirlwind and such a blessing in so many different ways. And I was just so thrilled when Carrie Klein came in my inbox requesting an interview, because you are so inspirational and you've been a mentor to me, even though you didn't know that, so secret, for so long. It's awesome to have you, so I'm just so thrilled. Thank you.
Well, it's always fun to meet folks that are doing podcasts and radio shows, and, you know, I want to lift up the good work that you're doing, and especially the work that you're doing to support women who are doing, you know, using their creative efforts to share faith. So I think your show is going to live long and prosper, and it's going to be awesome.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. There's so many incredibly talented women out there that already have businesses, and then there are those, you know, kind of hanging out in the shadows that are scared to start. And those are the women, you know, that I really have a heart for, are the ones that just need that little extra push, you know, to get over that hump and realize that that through God, anything is possible. And if this is something that they are passionate about and that they love, and they discern that the Lord tells them to do it, then hopefully we can serve as that inspiration.
Absolutely. I look back at the risk that I took. It's actually 16 years ago now that I started CatholicMom.com, and it still lives in our home. And I mean, but just listen to that little voice in your heart that's prompting you to use, you know, the gifts that God's placed in you, because I just never could have imagined all that would happen over these years. And it's certainly not because, like, I, you know, had this huge background in doing any of this, but I think when we do our work for God, He prospers it. So,
and that 16 years, that is so, that is just so amazing to me, because I started in the online world in 2010. I want to say is when I started my first little blog, and I didn't come back to the church until 2011. And so I probably found Catholic Mom a couple years after that. And just the depth of material you all had on there, I mean, it was so instrumental in me and in learning about our faith as I returned. So it's such a great resource to people. So grateful.
We wake up every day feeling blessed about what we get to do. And I am so lucky because I get to be kind of the face of it, but we have amazing contributors that are, you know, the heart and soul of what we do, and they're all volunteers. So it's definitely, we run on Holy Spirit power.
I love that. And He could do anything, right? We know that.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
So I always like to start chatting with a little history. And there's not a lot about, I'm sure in your talks you give history and things like that, but as I was doing my research, you know, I'm nosy and my listeners are nosy, and we want to know, you know, about you. Where'd you grow up? You know, give us a little history on your family. Have you always been Catholic? Those kinds of things.
Well, I'm so blessed. I'm the oldest of five children. I'm a cradle Catholic. I was born in Indiana. My mom and dad are so crazy that I was born in 1963, and I'm, you know, I basically when I was 6 weeks old, my mom put me in the back of their car and we drove to California. And that's where I grew up and lived most of my life. They went across the country with no plan, but a lot of faith. And that's the faith that really they passed along to all of us. And, I had a pretty regular, like, 60s and 70s kid in the church. You know, that means that we sang a lot of guitar songs, but I didn't necessarily know all the nuts and bolts of my faith. We did have a really, really vibrant faith life in our family. And we, you know, attended mass regularly. And I was always very active in music ministry at my parish. And, you know, I just loved going to church. Church was family and home, and it was just such a big part of my upbringing. And then I went off to college at the University of Notre Dame, so back to Indiana. And that is where I met my husband, Greg. We were actually married the year after we graduated from college. Greg's an emergency medicine physician, so the next phase of our life took us to Nashville, Tennessee, where he was in medical school at Vanderbilt. And we lived there for almost 4 years while he was finishing med school. And then we came back to California, and we've lived out here ever since. And our two sons, Eric and Adam, which are now 25 and 22, they were born in California. And that this is really where my apostolate kind of grew up. And we just had a really big change this last year because we moved away from the home diocese that we've lived in for the last, 23 years. We had a big move to Los Angeles. So we're kind of starting a new phase of our life now and a new adventure.
Oh my goodness, LA. And it's just such a different, I'm in Phoenix, and so it's not that big of a difference, you know, distance wise, but cultural wise, it seems like it's leaps and bounds away. I mean, how do you deal with that? Are you pretty immersed with your parish and your diocesan culture that it doesn't really bother you living in LA, you know, or does it? I mean, how is that? I'm just curious.
This has been like, it's really interesting because that's still a transitional question. So we moved in in June because Greg accepted a job down here at UCLA. And I just thank God for my faith because I felt so confident that, you know, this was that God had his hands on this move. We discerned it for a long time. And we are very, very involved in our parish in Fresno. Our kids went to our parish school and my husband came into the church in our parish there and was active in liturgical ministry and playing guitar at mass. And I was an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion and, you know, super involved in my parish. And this was an unexpected move for us. But it coincidentally also comes at a time in our life where our nest is emptying so we can afford to live in a much smaller place. That's one of the big, facts of life of living in this city is that it's quite expensive. For anyone, it's very expensive to live here. So we're downsized and decluttered and living in a tiny apartment. But we're feeling very blessed. And actually, for my work, it's actually kind of a blessing to be here because, first of all, I travel quite a lot. Mm-hmm. So having access to a very big airport is wonderful. And then I'm increasingly involved in doing stuff for Catholic Mom with the entertainment industry. We've always done a lot of movie reviews on the website, but I'm finding some new connections in that being here, which has been really fun. And it's brought me into something that I wouldn't have necessarily expected. And then the other part of it is discerning a new parish home. You know, we looked quite a lot at different churches before we joined the parish that we're in now. And, it's been a blessing and also a teaching thing for me because it reminds me that, a parish home doesn't just happen. You actually have to invest yourself in getting involved and, you know, volunteering and meeting people. So it's sort of a new building thing for us in this new home.
I just, going to a new parish, it's always been one of the things that's always been a little bit scary to us. We came home here to the church, and my husband actually came into the church too. How long were you married before your husband came in?
17 years, actually.
What and a blessing. Really, oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah, praise God. And I have to say that, so we're married 30 years this year, and I have to say that that is just, you know, it's given me such joy. And I really have to say that Greg's journey is really the reason that CatholicMom.com exists, because when I started the website, it was because my kids were actually maybe Andrea about the age that your children are now. And I really, the responsibility for raising them in the faith was solely on me. Greg was very supportive, but he wasn't Catholic. And so I went looking for resources and wasn't finding a whole lot. And I didn't start Catholic Mom because I, you know, thought I had all the answers. It was because I was looking for other moms mm-hmm. like me to connect with. And I still think that there are lots of people, even as there's so much more now out there on the internet, that are seeking a sense of community that we've tried to build at Catholic Mom. And I know there are lots of women who share my journey and that they're maybe married to someone who's really wonderful but doesn't share their faith life. And it can be a real challenge to your own journey. So we want to provide a loving home for them. But it's been a great joy. And I have to say, I mean, every week when I see my husband receive the Eucharist, I almost always get tears in my eyes. It's a great blessing.
I know what you mean. And my husband was only, it shocked me to death. My husband was only, I came back in 2011 and it was 3 years later when we were sitting at church and he had just started attending mass. We had just had our third daughter and I was like, I can't do this by myself with three kids. You have to come with me, please. And so he came to mass with us and for 3 months, and then they announced RCIA was starting, and he looks at me, hadn't talked to me about anything, nothing. He looks at me and he goes, I think I'm going to do that. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? I didn't even know what to say. I was totally, completely, like, dumbfounded. So it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. And I think that I love your story. And I think that having that experience, is just so valuable because so many people can think that, you know, a person has everything going for them and not knowing what the challenges are behind closed doors. So So that's amazing. Thank you for sharing. I had no idea about that. Oh, my goodness. Something in common. That's, again, I just, the Holy Spirit and how he works is always, I should never be amazed, but I always am all the time, all the time. And I guess when I stop being amazed is when I need to, you know, do something about something, right?
Yeah. And I just say for the women out there who ask about this, because it's a very common question, either with your spouse or even with your children are still so little, Andrea, but a lot of people have children who've been raised in the faith and then, you know, will maybe go away from the faith and start to question. And I always just, I just tell women, you know, the person whose conversion you most need to pray for is your own, just that you can always be growing closer to Jesus in your life. And, you know, we never stop praying for our spouses and our children, but I want people not to fret, because a lot of women bear a lot of pain around this issue. And you know, I just want to, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. And also that, you know, if you have Jesus in your heart, you know, God knows the prayers and the desires of your heart. And, so try to take the weight off that you feel on yourself. So
thank you. That's great advice. And it's so important as well. So thank you very much. We're getting all deep here on the business podcast.
Yeah,
isn't that funny?
Okay.
No, I love, and that's why I do this though, is to really just connect with people. And it's all about building the relationships and to the effect, you know, as much as you can through the airwaves, right?
Oh, right. Absolutely.
Which you can. So let's talk about writing and blogging. Did you always want to be a writer? Is that something that you always had in your heart? Or is this something that you just kind of, that, you know, just kind of recognized as a gift and you just kind of went with it?
It's actually a no to both of those. And I'm so blessed because, you know, I think I realized around 2006, maybe, the website was just that. It was a kind of a standalone website back when it was first created. And, there was this, you know, newly evolving platform of blogging. And I jumped into that pretty early on and recognized that it was a better way of serving the people that we were trying to serve, that if we blogged, it would provide the ability for them to comment and we could have better dialogue, which is what we've always wanted for the website. So I was kind of happily blogging along and really learning about writing and, really just learning kind of the sound of my voice and writing. And I was so blessed to have my publisher come to me in 2008, Tom Grady at Ave Maria Press, requested a meeting with me at a conference I was attending. And he gave me my first opportunity to write a book. And that was the Handbook for Catholic Moms. And honestly, I took some convincing because Tom came to me and got the idea of a book. And I said, I don't know how to write a book. I'm not a real writer. And, you know, he assigned me a wonderful editor who's still my editor now, Eileen Ponder. And I think that their mentoring of me, but also their confidence that the platform that we'd built would be a good kind of launching point for my writing career was amazing. And, you know, they've stayed with me as my life has transitioned. And we now have this whole CatholicMom.com imprint of books. So going on, you know, with 10 books now that we've done with Ave, not all written by me, but they're a sign of great confidence that moms need wonderful books. And I've kind of learned writing in the process.
That's so funny that how it happened, that it just, you didn't even know you wanted to do it. And now look at you, right?
Oh gosh. And I still, and every time I start off on a new project, it's like, I can't tell you kind of the spiritual warfare that goes on. And I think it's just, you know, I realize now I've done this enough times that, this is part of my process, but I just thank God so much for, you know, the opportunity to share my faith in that way, because it's been such a blessing and I've learned so much, and to have people read your work is just the most amazing thing ever.
How do you come up with, so he came to you with the book. Did you come up with the actual idea for the book, or did he propose something along those lines? And how have your subsequent books been brought up? Have you just come up with an idea and then just kind of followed it to where it went?
So the first book, it quite often happens in publishing, and now I actually work freelance for my publisher, so I kind of understand the acquisition side, but it quite often happens that publishers will go looking for people who have an established platform. It makes sense that you would want to write and publish books that would be, you know, successful and that would find a good audience. So when they came to me, it was because, you know, they recognized that Catholic Mom was really growing. I think they thought that I would write a book that would be, you know, kind of a parenting manual, but I was still so in the thick of being a mom and really not feeling like I had the expertise to write that. But that first book was, is really a book that I was very convicted about the fact that moms spend so much time taking care of everyone else except themselves. And especially in our spiritual lives, that if we're going to nurture our families, that it requires that we provide for our own self-care. So that was the first book, and they were 100% behind that. So that's really what that book is it's a book about how we can take care of ourselves as wives and moms and as women, spiritually, but also physically and intellectually in our work and in our relationships. And my second book built on that one, it was called A Book of Saints for Catholic Moms. And it really is, it's 52 kind of saintly companions for this journey that we're on. And then I did a little Advent project called O Radiant Dawn. And then the next book that came after that was, it's called The Grace of Yes. And that really was a transitional book for me, because that book is not a book specifically for moms. And it kind of came at the point where my second son had just gone off to college and life was a little different. And I was really praying about what's God calling me to in my life. And you know, how can I follow Mary's example? She gave her yes. What's my yes? So that was that book. And then that actually led next to a surprising turn, which was the Chime Traveler series. I think we're going to talk about that.
Yes.
So yeah, and that's not something that I would have expected in my writing.
I have 8-year-olds, right? So when I saw the Chime Travelers, I thought to myself, how have I not heard about this yet? And because the boys are at the age, you know, where they're moving into chapter books and they're moving into, you know, away from, you know, just like the little big books and little big books. That sounded great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and there's all these other books out there that are popular, but trying to find something that you know is going to feed their soul and they won't even know it. Like, that's what I'm looking for, right? Is something that they will read and that they will love and, you know, get the messages through there without being, you know, inundated with, you know, church and cat. I mean,
yeah.
Which we all love the faith. We all love it. But I mean, they're 8. I mean, my poor kids on Wednesday was, you know, or Thursday, last Thursday was the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And Wednesday night, we had to go to church because my older one, of the sons was having surgery on Thursday. And so I took them, they had Wednesday mass, school mass, Wednesday morning. And then I picked them up from school and I said, guess what? We're going to vigil mass. And they're like, okay. And then they also, the other kid that didn't have the surgery had to go to mass on Thursday morning. because that's when the school was going to the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And I felt, I mean, they're poor 8-year-old kid. You know, he's so antsy. He can barely sit through, you know, one a week. And anyhow.
Oh, yeah. Been there, done that.
So like 3 masses in 2 days, my older son had to do. And so I want to give them things to read. And, you know, and they're so into technology and games and iPads and all this other junk. You know, I want them to have the gift of good books. And so I was so excited to see this series of books, and I just ordered the first one, and it should be here tomorrow, and I'm going to read it before I give it to them for their Christmas gift. But I want to know, what inspired you to start this? What inspired the Chime Travelers fiction, this fiction series? And actually tell us about it. I haven't even talked about it yet. So tell us about the Chime Travelers, and then, you know, how this came about.
So it's kind of funny. I mean, it's just really, when I say, like, if you give God your yes, you'll be surprised where he takes you. This is a really good example because, you know, I am not a fiction author, nor am I a children's literature specialist, but I love stories and I love the saints. And so another publisher, not my main publisher, but another one, Franciscan Media, I had been having a conversation with them about project ideas. And this story goes way back to, there are a lot of Patricks in my family. And if I had been a boy, my name would have been Patrick after my daddy and my paternal grandmother, Patty. And I have a nephew, actually I have several nephews named Patrick, but one of them I was visiting one day, and we were out in his backyard, and we were just talking, and we were kind of daydreaming. We were sitting on one of those backyard swings and just talking about what would happen if he could travel in time and meet his patron saint, Saint Patrick. And we just daydreamed this story. And all these years later, I had this publisher come to me and say, you know, do you have any ideas for books? And kind of just as a joke, I basically said, well, you know, I have had this like idea about writing some kind of books for children. And I kind of shared with them this story that we'd been telling, because I have a deep love for St. Patrick and really for all the saints. And I really consider the saints sort of our original superheroes. And I also, you know my own sons well enough to kind of know the kind of stuff that they liked to read when they were that age. And so the story was pitched to them, and it morphed into what's become this series. And my original character, Patrick, became twins, Patrick and Katie Brady, who are redheaded, you know, Irish-looking twins. And the Time Traveler's idea is really set in a Catholic parish and a Catholic school. And even the title, Time Travelers, comes from the time travel that happens when they go off and have these adventures where they encounter different Catholic saints. It's because of the chiming of the Angelus bells at their parish. So the idea is that you tell these stories, but, and you set them in a Catholic context, but you also make them fun and, you know, exciting. And also, you know, the time travel happens and the kids can't get back from their kind of missions that they're on until they've actually learned a kind of moral lesson that's relevant to a problem that they're facing in their day-to-day life. And so we take on issues like bullying or body image, you know, too much screen time, just all kinds of things like this that, you know, the kids that I know in my life have to deal with now in elementary school. And the idea is that the lessons from the saints are so timeless that they can help us to learn. And so they're fun and, you know, sometimes sassy, and we have animal characters and fun illustrations, but there's some hidden truth in there too.
And that's what I love it. My boys, they love the Magic Treehouse books.
Right.
And there's another one. Oh, I can't think of it right now. Oh, it's like at the tip of my tongue. But there's another series that's similar with just adventures and traveling. And that's why I have very high hopes that they're going to love your books. I cannot. I'm going to do some specific praying that they touch their hearts. And I'm sure that they will. Because again, adventure, just like you said, adventure, but set in a familiar way with the church and, you know, the faith and things that'll feel familiar to them as they're reading it, and they can kind of apply to their own lives and say, hey, wouldn't that be cool if that happened at my church, you know, at my school or at my parish? I just think I'm so excited. That's so amazing.
Well, we sneak little things in there, like the first time traveler adventure happens when little Patrick is his family is volunteers at their church to clean the church, and he's assigned to actually dust one of the confessionals, and that's where the first mission originates. and we sneak little things in there, like the words, you know, like narthex or monstrance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not meant to be a vocabulary lesson, but I'm hoping that, you know, kids will suddenly realize, like, why is it that the Angelus bells ring at my church? You know, why is there a bell that rings at noon every day? Or, you know, just some of the things that happen in and around our parishes. I'm hoping that by learning in an organic story, that it'll just become a natural part of what they learn to love about their faith.
And I think it will. I really think it will. What kind of response have you had? So part of your work involves, you know, going out to visit different schools and parishes, and even doing it video conferencing, which this morning I sent an email to our principal and then also the boys' third grade teacher. And I said, I don't know if you all know this or not, and I told them all about this series. And so they might be reaching out to you. I'm not sure. But how have the kids been responding and their families and the teachers been responding to these books?
Yeah, it's been amazing. You know, we've done 5 books. And one of the things that I realized very quickly is that there's sort of not a lot of great resources out there for kids that kind of look at the faith from this perspective. And I began a daydream about how I could get out to visit all the schools. And so I created these just 30-minute sessions that I do in classrooms around the country. And it's either by Skype or FaceTime. A lot of classrooms now have smart boards. And so the teachers are really familiar with using technology in their classrooms. And basically, I kind of chime travel. I by the magic of Skype, come to the smart board. And we have a half-hour conversation about the saints and about writing and storytelling. And the first half of the conversation is really to tell the kids, you know, that they're saints in the making and that we need them right now. We need the gifts that God's placed in them. And it's really to help them understand the gift of the saints in our faith and how the saints are companions for them and role models for them, but also that they, you know, can rise up and be saints on their own right there in third grade. And then the second half of it is really to encourage them that we need them to tell their stories, whether it's in writing or in drawing or, you know, singing a song or making a video or even gaming, that great stories help spread fire about things, and we need them to be storytellers. And the reception to both the books and these classroom visits has been amazing. It's really one of my favorite things that I do now, and it's free for the teachers, so it's a great thing for the teachers, and they don't have to have read the books, but in the cases where the kids have read the books, I have to tell you, I feel kind of like a rock star.
Yeah.
Because they ask me such great questions, and they're so engaged with the stories that they've given me so many new ideas for, you know, new ways to look at the project, and just the ways that kids see and interact with things are just amazing. And they really are capable of so much in terms of their service to each other and their love for each other.
It always amazes me what children know and what they gain. And one of those lessons happened this last week around our dinner table. And my dad, we're very blessed to have my parents here in town. And so we go over for dinner several times a week. And my dad, I don't know what came. He just sometimes will bring up random things. And I'm not sure what prompted this. I forgot to ask. But he started talking about to the boys. He said, you know, sometimes there will be times where people will tell you that God doesn't exist and that, you know, they'll try to discount your faith and all of these things. So he's giving them this little mini lesson around the dinner table. And my boys are just looking at him with these big old round eyes like, why would anybody ever do that? You know, that's what they're thinking. And at the end, he said, so what would you do if somebody said that there's no God? And my son Logan goes, I would ask him who created us then. And I looked at him and I was like, there's actually a lot of stuff getting in that brain of yours, isn't there?
It's great. And those kind of talks, like those dinner table talks, unfortunately, in today's, you know, busy world, it's like we're getting away from that. And you know, we're often in the back of minivans having those talks or whatever, wherever we are. Mm-hmm. But and our kids just I'm always amazed when I ask them, you know, when I go, I get to do in-person school visits, too. And when I go out to kids in elementary school and say to them, like, how are you called to be a saint in the making? The things that they tell me, you know, the way that they recognize that, even, you know, taking care of the kid who's being bullied, or, you know, even like picking up trash on the school ground so they can take care of God's creation. They know this stuff, and they often can be the ones who teach us. So you mentioned, you know, your husband's coming into faith, and I'm sure your kids had a large part in helping him to discover God's love, you know, through what they taught him.
And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, just the, because we didn't start sacraments until late. The boys were four when they got baptized, and then we had my daughter, and she was baptized right away. And it was a month after her baptism that he made his pronouncement. And then we actually also had, like I mentioned, another set of twins. They're 9 months old now. God's funny. He says, you already had one set. We're just going to go ahead and give you another set. And of course, it's a lot harder when you're 8 years older, but whatever. We can do it. But yeah, it's just what the children can teach us is so important. And I think, you know, the dinner table thing just, it reminded me of, you know, the lessons that we have to teach the kids. And how would you say that families can best share the themes that are, that you talk about and that you explore in the Chime Travelers, to deal with some of these, you know, trials and challenges that kids are faced with today? I mean, they're facing so many things at such a much younger age. How can your books help them with those kinds of things?
Well, I'd say, I mean, I hope the books will help, but I'd say one thing that really is at the heart of this is understanding. So what happens in these stories is that there's a family who recognizes that they need to draw closer to their parish family. And so even though the kids are in a Catholic school and, you know, they're going through all the motions, something happens in the first book it's kind of a funny thing, actually. They have an adopted little sister. She's from Vietnam, and they're at her baptism, and Patrick, who's the main character, his little frog that he's just found, the frog's name is Francis, by the way, named after a pope. Francis jumps out of Patrick's pocket and into the baptismal font during the baptism. And it causes mom and dad to say, hey, you know, maybe we need to learn a little bit more about why we go to church and what's appropriate and all this. So they volunteer for this cleaning team. And this is how all this, you know, adventure begins. But I think that what I'm pointing to is, and what you've discovered in your own family, is that our parish family needs to be more than something that we just show up at for an hour on Sunday. That a lot of the answers to the problems that we face in society today can be found in our faith, but not if we're just kind of going through the motions and just, you know, going there once a week and it's something that nobody really likes and we just kind of cross it off our to-do list. That our parish home should be, whether or not our kids are in Catholic school, and maybe even more so if they're not, that should be just like the home that we live in, where we're all welcome, but we also all have responsibilities, and it's a place where we come together to serve each other, and, you know, that we don't just show up and expect everything to be done for us. And I just think what I had as a child, and maybe what you did too, Andrea, was a place where my church felt like my second home. And I have to say, even in this most recent move, that for me, it was much harder to say goodbye to my parish family than it was to say goodbye to the house that we lived in, because that's our spiritual home. So, you know, how do we find that for our families? And maybe that's what, when, you know, we find more and more families that are moving away from practice of the faith, and we hear, you know, these statistics about people not going to church, maybe the sense of it being home and our family is what can help recapture in our hearts, you know, those missing ingredients that make it, you know, more special for us. And I think our kids are the perfect place to start in building that.
Yeah, it's cheesy and cliche, but they're the future, you know.
I mean, I say that, but then I had a very wise young adult say to me, I was speaking to a group of young adults once, and I said to them, oh, you know, we really need you, you're our future. And one of them marched up to me afterwards and said, I'm not your future, I'm your right now. And I
worked
with the kids to say this to them, that we don't need you as saints in the future. We need you, our church needs you right now. The gifts that you have to share, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if your kids are altar servers yet, but if you
know, we're working on that.
Yeah. And I mean, what is more inspirational than to see an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old on the altar serving? You know, that's a gift that they're giving to their parish, and they're blessed obviously by doing it, but, you know, they're capable right now of doing such great things. So that's what I really hope for these books, is that they help people to get grounded in the fact that our parish is a family, that our church needs us right now, that we have these amazing companions, the saints that walk with us, that teach us, and that it can all be a really fun adventure.
And that, what are, you're going to segue right into my next question, which is next, the adventure. And what is the next adventure? So you have 5 books, and I have a feeling people are going to want more. So
I hope what? So. But the first 5, just to say, are St. Patrick, St. Kateri Tekakwitha, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Clair of Assisi. And then number 5, which is the newest release, is called The Strangers at the Manger. And not surprisingly, it's the superhero family of saints, the Holy Family. So our twins, for the first time, chime travel together, and they meet Mary and Joseph on the way to Bethlehem. And I honestly don't know what's going to come next. We're working really hard on spreading the word about these books, but I'd love to write 100 of them. And I'd love to do a lot more with this material, because I think that we're just scratching the surface right now.
So I meant to ask this earlier and I forgot. How did you decide what saints to use? Is this just a discernment process, or did you have your favorite saints, or did the publisher say, hey, what about these? How was that decided upon?
So I actually asked to do the first 2, and I wasn't sure we would have even more books after that. Patrick is my personal patron and is really the patron for all the work that I do. And I think that it was important to me to tell that story. And one thing that I learned in writing St. Patrick's story is that, you know, we all celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but most of us don't know why. And St. Patrick left this rich, body of writing. He wrote something called his Confessio, which was in essence his autobiography. And the book is, the time travel segments of that book are largely based on his own writings and stay very true to his telling of his conversion story. And it's important to me in all the books that we stay really true to what we know from kind of canon about the saints' lives. So Patrick was critical. And then I have a dear love for St. Kateri. And I think as an American saint, she's important for our children to know. And her story is just very profound, and also the story of a child who found Christ, you know, so that was really critical. And I wanted to balance, you know, boys and girls, so that we could serve both boys and girls. St. Francis and St. Clair were as a request of the publisher. And I'll tell you that when I was psyched to write about St. Francis, but I was not psyched to write about St. Clair, because I thought, oh, she's so boring. She was a cloistered nun. What did she ever do? Wow. Was I wrong? And probably that book is probably my second favorite of all of them. So she's amazing, and she has an amazing story, and it makes for a very dramatic time traveling, episode. And then the Holy Family, you know, to tell you the truth, I wasn't really sure about writing that, but this book, has just revolutionized the way that I'm celebrating Christmas this year. It's the first year since, the book came out, and, to spend such a deep period of time, in gospel, you know, reading about the infancy narratives, and to the book is really a love letter to, you know, to that moment of the nativity and to what happens. And I tried to stay really close as you can tell with, you know, adding time travel to it. I tried to stay really close to the infancy narratives in scripture, and to, you know, include a lot of scripture in the actual telling of the story. So the characters are often speaking the words that your children will read in the Gospels when they read about Jesus' birth. And we stay with the Holy Family all the way through the flight into Egypt. And so it's just, you know, it's really an amazing way to kind of live the scriptures, to bring the story to life for kids.
Do you think that this, so do you read when you go to your, do your visits and things like that, do you read these stories aloud, or like a portion of the book, or, I mean, are they good books to read aloud with your kids?
Well, actually, a lot of families have written me to say, oh my gosh, you're ruining bedtime, because we have a bedtime and our kids are saying, oh, just one more chapter, one more chapter. We try to leave every book has 20 chapters, and we try to leave every chapter with a little bit of a cliffhanger so that you're dying to turn the page to go to the next chapter. But it's being used in read alouds in a lot of families, a lot of homeschooling groups and parishes and classrooms. I don't actually do readings when I go out because I think that it's better. My time with the kids is better used in really kind of talking to them about these topics that I want to share, and that the teacher can always really share the book with them. But I love just to hear from the kids that have read the stories because they're so wrapped up, and there are a lot of little hints in there. If you know anything about writing kind of fiction and specifically time travel, you have to have kind of a mythology for why it all happens. So there's a lot of little subliminal hints in there, the stories too.
So The Stranger at the Manger, that's the one that's perfect for just for Advent season right now and soon to be Christmas season. And where is the best place for people to buy these books? Do you send them to do you send them to Franciscan? Do you send them to Amazon? Where's the best place for people to go?
The best place, if you are lucky enough to have a Catholic retailer in your town, please go to them. They can order the books, and if they don't have them in stock, and our Catholic booksellers just really, really need our support. They're really on the front line of ministry, and they need our help to stay in business. You can definitely get them through Franciscan Media at their website, or on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's really easy to order them there. And if people would want like autograph copies, they can just send an email to me. We have a website for the series. It's called chimetravelerkids.com. Like chime, like the chiming of bells, chimetravelerkids.com. Or they can just send an email to lisa@catholicmom.com. But it's really best if they can get them, you know, through a local Catholic bookstore, if you have one. And then also just to say that I do have discounts for teachers. If they want to get in touch with me and if they're interested in, you know, finding out about a school visit, they can just drop me an email too. It's lisa@catholicmom.com.
Do you have any plans to come to Phoenix in the next month or two?
Hopefully. Well, definitely. Anytime I'm invited by Skype, I always can 100% come. But I love, you know, I was just in Tulsa for a week. And while I was there, I did some women's conferences, but I also visited four different Catholic school classrooms. And it's such a gift to be able to be with the kids in person and, you know, to pray with them and to just be inspired by them. So I'd love either by a virtual visit or in person to come to Phoenix or really anywhere. I love traveling.
Oh, it's so, and you're at a perfect stage of life to do that. And that's, absolutely, it's something that I have to keep reminding myself of, that my time will come. Even though I'm elbow deep in diapers and
you know what? I know it sounds so trite to say that you'll miss it. Like, it's hard to imagine that you ever would, but you know, there's going to be plenty of time for you. And this time with your kids is so fleeting. So just
the days are long, but the years are short, right?
It's so true. And I mean, you look back and it's like, it just goes by in the blink of an eye, but it's also just like such an amazing blessing.
It is, and I wouldn't change it for the world. Just every once in a while, you know, a little twinge of what to do. Okay, so you are going to be giving one of our listeners a copy, I believe, of The Stranger, Strangers at the Manger, right? Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Okay. I think that the publisher is a raffle copy of that, so that's exciting.
Yes, and so please, everyone, go to CatholicWomenCreate.com and enter to win a copy of this awesome book. Like I said, I've got mine on the way, and I'm so excited to read it. I wish I would have had it before we chatted, but I'm so excited to read it and to introduce it to my children and everyone I know. I mean, there are so many Catholic women. I've emailed everyone. I'm like, have you all, or in my different Facebook groups, I'm like, have you all heard about this series? Have you? And they're like, no, tell me more. So I think it's such an amazing thing for our kids that you're doing, and I'm just so grateful to have spoken with you today.
Well, Andrea, thank you for your good work and the way that you're serving so many and encouraging so many women. It's so important that everybody understand that they have a unique and special gift and that God's created them to do wonderful things. So I can't wait to see how your show is going to grow, and I can't wait to listen to future episodes. And I'm just really grateful for your support.
Oh, Thank you so much, Lisa. We're so grateful for you. And you have a blessed Advent and an amazing Christmas, okay?
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
If you like what you're hearing, become a friend of the show. Visit redboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us today, everyone. We are so grateful to Lisa Hendy also for coming in and sharing her story and sharing a little bit about some of her books. If you have children that are in Catholic school, please, please, please share these Chime Traveler books with the teachers and the principals. I just think it is so, so incredibly important to get these into the hands of our kids. I think that it can really, really help to further their faith journey as they navigate childhood and moving on into middle school and high school. So please talk to your teachers and your principals. Let them know about this amazing opportunity and these sessions that Lisa offers over Skype or FaceTime if she's not in your area. So thank you again to Lisa Hendy. Next week, we will be talking with Cecilia Escobedo with Haribos for Life. She has an amazing product to share with us. I'm so excited to have her. We're also going to be talking about how to start an Etsy shop. Another important thing for those of you creatives out there that have physical products to sell and aren't quite ready to open your own shop on your own website, Etsy is an amazing place to begin your journey. So we're going to talk about that, and I will have a free ebook hopefully available for download next week on how to start your Etsy shop. Come back, visit us again. We're so grateful for you, for all your support, and we hope your Advent continues to be blessed. Have a great day.
Listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.